is.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, hey everyone joining us here and at home. Again, welcome. My name is Matt, and today is the last week in our series that we're doing on the Psalms. And so if you want to turn to Psalm 33, see if you could give me that first slide. I think I could do this. Maybe. Psalm 33. Cool. Thank you. So we have covered, as of today, this will be 6 Psalms. And that means that there's 144 left. So plenty for another time. We're going to explore something today that all of you have thought about at some point. That everybody here has some sort of belief or opinion or conviction around this idea of purpose for your life. About whether or not there even is a purpose, right? Of being alive on this planet. Some of you would say, yeah, I think there is a purpose, and I'm trying to figure that out right now. Others of us might say, maybe there's a purpose, but I don't know whether or not you could actually know what it is. And then there may be some of us watching or here who would say, you know what, I don't actually believe there is any purpose. You're born, you die, you try to squeeze as much out of life as you can, and then that's the end. But whatever you think about this, whatever your beliefs are about whether or not we can have a purpose, that actually will drive and shape many of the decisions that you make. This will actually affect what we do with our time, our money, our relationships. This will influence, like, our priorities, you know, what it is you're going after with your, like, the only life that you've been given. And so the decisions that we make in all kinds of areas flow out of our belief, do you have a purpose? Are you here for a reason? Or are you just kind of here, right? Floating through life, spending your time, and then you just go on to something else or maybe nothing at all. Now, I don't just ask this question for myself. I ask this as a dad. I think about this for my kids. Like, I want them to grow up thinking about this question of purpose. I don't want that to, like, I don't want that to paralyze them or make them paranoid and always afraid, I'm missing out on God's purpose for my life. I don't want them to feel guilty for enjoying life or for having nice things. I don't want them to feel like they're, like, a lesser Christian if God doesn't call them to, like, the mission field. So that's not what I'm talking about. But I also don't want them to grow up and just think, well, my grandparents had kids. My parents had kids. That's how I got here. So maybe I'll just have some kids and get a job to pay the bills and then try to find something to do on the weekend to escape what I have to do to pay the bills. I've had many conversations with college students, with young adults, who are intuitively asking this question, what am I supposed to do with my life? What do I want my life to be about? Where does God factor into all of this? And does God have, like, a purpose for my life? And yeah, all of us here, we move past those years, right? Our college years or young adult years, our 20s. But the question of purpose is still there. We just get busy and we don't think about it as often. But every once in a while, when you're quiet enough, when you're lonely enough, when you get away from the busyness, maybe you're just driving down the road, or you hear about something someone else is doing with their life, or let's just say a global pandemic hits and your entire life and routine and status quo is overturned. I'm just saying, we have moments where this question comes to mind, what am I doing with my life? And you lay in bed at night and you think, for what? I mean, for what, you know, to what end? Why? And is that it? And 10 years from now, 20 years from now, is it just going to be more of this? Am I just spending time counting down the days? And you know, life, it's pretty good, I guess, or I'm trying, I'm working to make it okay. in the meantime. But is there a reason and is there a purpose? And I'm just telling you, that is an inescapable cry of the human heart, of the soul. And here is the really great news. God says that there is. And Scripture has so much to say about this, that if we were to ever fully embrace what God says about purpose for our lives, it would impact our decisions, it would impact outcomes in every area. God says, here's the good news. You can actually know what it is. And until you know what it is, there's actually going to be this nagging sense of, and what's next? You know, is that all? So Psalm 33, and we're going to start with verse 6. And instead of focusing on the whole psalm this time, I want to narrow it down to just this section here. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. So there's some poetic language here describing God as the creator of everything. Verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. And then he defines what he means by fear in the second part of this verse. By the way, the Psalms often use like two statements back to back. It's called a parallelism, where one sort of clarifies and defines the other. Let all the earth fear the Lord. What do you mean? Let all the people of the world revere him. So here's what David is saying. He's saying, everybody, no matter what you believe about God, he, she, it, the force, whatever your picture of God is, everybody, at least once in a while, should pause and have respect for God. That we should just have this moment. There's something about God that should cause us to go, whoa. And just to have this moment of respect or to revere God. And he tells us why in the next verse. For, verse 9, he spoke, and it, that's the world, including eventually all of us, he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it, the world, stood firm. Now, we've said a lot throughout this time that the Psalms are songs meant to be sung in worship. But one of the things the Psalms are like regularly trying to do is they're trying to show us that as we worship God, we actually get some perspective. We gain perspective on our lives in light of who God is. And so again, everybody, at least once in a while, should stop and go, if it weren't for God, there would be nothing. And there certainly wouldn't be me. Again, that's if you believe God had anything to do with starting the world. And it makes sense. Whether or not you believe God like was there and like pushed the first domino, right? Or caused the Big Bang, or you believe God went out and put all the sheep and all the cows exactly as they are. Whatever you think about how it happened, if you believe, as David believed, that God had something to do with it, we should all stop and pause once in a while and say, wow. Does that make sense? And by the way, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for God. And it's that insight, it's that question, or even that pause that causes us, or should cause us, to ask the next question that begs to be asked. If there is a God who created all of this, again, however it happened, there's a someone, though, behind it. Then the next logical question is, why? Do you ever wonder that? If God had anything to do with it, why? And it's that question of why that leads to the question of purpose. What is the point? Was God bored? Did he lose a bet? Did he run out of things to do? Was it an experiment? I mean, why? If we are here, and I'm pretty sure we know that for sure, although we can leave that to philosophers, right? But let's just assume that we know we're here, and it's not, this is a dream, and it's real life when we're dreaming, okay? We know that somewhere a long time ago, that something doesn't come from nothing. That God had something to do with getting this started. And again, why? What's the purpose? So you can see how if you go down this path and you begin to realize, without God, I wouldn't be here, you begin to realize in these moments in our hearts when we're quiet, we start to ask the question, why am I here? Not why are we here? That's kind of safe. Why am I here is the bigger question. And is there an answer to that? And is there some purpose connected to God or the divine? David goes on, and look what he says in the next verse. And it looks like he's changing the subject, but just hang with him. He's actually following a train of thought. It just takes him a second. Verse 10, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. By the way, this is like a king. This is a guy who goes, and like the world changes around him. And he realizes, as powerful as I am, as much influence, as much wealth, as much power as I have, he would say he knows that none of that can thwart or foil the plans of God. That God could stop human plans without any effort. Verse 11. But, contrast, the plans of the Lord stand forever. Time out. David, are you saying that God has plans? Huh? Yeah, that's what he's saying. That God has plans that stand firm, that no one can stop. And then here's the word. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Now, this is so huge. What David understood, because he knew the promises of God, he understood that God has this multi-generational plan, this plan that goes through all generations, that no person would be able to stop. That God has this plan that no leader, no industry, no political empire would ever be able to wreck. And David realizes that he is right in the middle. He's right in the middle of this multi-generational plan of God that began before his time, that's going to pass right through his time and go right on into the future. And nothing, no one would be able to get in the way of that. Let me say it another way. David realized that God is up to something in the world. God's actually doing something in the world. And then here's the second part that David realizes, and I hope that it sinks in for us before we leave. Not only is God up to something, here's the second part. You've been invited to play a part. You've actually been invited to play a part in this. In other words, we really do have a purpose. There really is a plan for each of our lives individually. Asterisk, it does fit into the overall multi-generational plan of God, but it involves all of us. Now, I'm not seeing any of you write that down. I know that many of you have heard this before, and maybe for some this is a brand new thought, but for lots of us we're going, yeah, God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. What else do you got? But there is a huge difference between knowing something in our heads and just kind of yawning it off. There's a huge difference between that and then knowing deep down in the core of our being and being convinced. David really believed that God was actually up to something in the world, that history was moving somewhere, and that he had been invited to play a part. And I think from David's perspective, this plan was pretty easy to see. If you know the Bible history, you know, it's actually fairly easy to see. One of our challenges is we tend to look at the Bible like through a microscope in different sections, and we sometimes miss the whole story. But it goes like this. Once upon a time, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, God said to a man named Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to play a part in my plan. And I'm going to make you into a great nation, which is then actually going to be used to redeem the whole world. And Abraham had a son who had a son who had a bunch of sons, and those descendants became a nation. And then one day God picked a guy named Moses and said, Moses, I want you to lead this nation to the place where I am going to establish a kingdom. And I'm just telling you, if you had lived in the days of Abraham, you would have wanted to be a part of Abraham's family because that's what God was doing. If you had lived in the days of Moses, you would have wanted to be one of the children of Israel because that was what God was doing. And eventually, he took the nation. He put them in Israel. He established a kingdom. Later on, David became the king. and ruled on behalf of God, the true king, from Jerusalem. And David looked back on all that. Can you see how he could see, oh, I see God is up to something. And I'm like this chapter of the story. Several generations later, in the same vicinity, the king himself showed up, disguised as this man, Jesus. And all of a sudden, people gathered around Jesus. And again, that's where you would have wanted to be. That was like the epicenter of what God was doing. People realize God is up to something. He's chosen this man, Jesus, to be a part of it. And by the way, over 40 different people wrote this story. It took place over thousands of years, but there's one story. There's one thread woven through it all, holding it all together. We know from Scripture that God is up to something. And one day Jesus stood on a hillside after he died on a cross and rose from the dead. And he said to his followers, now all of you get to play a part. I want all of you to take the way of life that I've showed you, the way of the kingdom, this vision, and to live that out and to tell people about it. And I want the next generation to use their influence and to take this message and the good news of the kingdom of God. And I want you to go out and anybody who will listen, anybody who will give you the time of day, I want you to live this and to teach it. You get to be a part of the story because you are a part of this multi-generational plan of God to reconcile people. That means to make it fit, to redeem people, to bring them back into relationship with God. You're part of God's plan, not just to redeem people, but all of creation, to renew it, everything that exists. In other words, everyone, all of us are invited to play a part in what God began when he chose Abraham, who became a big family, who became a nation led by Moses, and then established as a kingdom under David and a string of kings, that God has been involved. He has a plan, and he has a purpose, and you have been invited. See, I'm just saying, I don't know that we actually think like that on a daily basis. The first Christians took this message, and they passed it on to the next generation. Like the second century, Jesus followers took it to the third century and all over the world. And really, the reason that you are sitting here today is because, or listening, generation after generation after generation, there have been this group of people who've embraced this truth. Not up here, but in here, in our core, that God is actually at work. He's actually asked us to join him. And we are here today because they got that they passed the baton from generation to generation. And here's the crazy thing. Nations have risen and nations have fallen. Kingdoms have been built up and kingdoms have collapsed. Industries have risen, industries have collapsed. Leaders have come, leaders have gone. But the plans and the purposes of God will not and cannot be stopped. Because he's up to something in the world. He's reconciling all people to himself. He's ultimately redeeming and restoring all things. Amen? Now, I get it. That's pretty exciting, like when you're here in church. It's like, yeah, that's awesome. But maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know, that's great, but like, look, where I work, where I actually live, God's not up to anything. In fact, I kind of need God to be up to something in my home, with my marriage, with, you know, my kids. I mean, there's nothing going on where I live. You ever feel like that? There's nothing going on where I work. There's nothing going on in my neighborhood. Actually, there's lots of stuff going on. I'm just not sure God has anything to do with it. And when I'm surrounded by Christians and we're in church and we sing a closing song, it's like, you know, I'm all for it. I just go out into the real world and I don't see that it doesn't seem like God is up to anything at all. Now, here's the crazy part. Here is the twist, and I cannot emphasize this enough. When Jesus walked this earth, do you realize it was the exact same way? Now, I'm just kind of making this up, so just play along with me, but when Jesus was on the earth, I mean, he's walking through the marketplace, the Son of God, The Savior of the world. We can't possibly quantify or emphasize enough just how much he has changed the world and continues to have influence on this planet. And yet he's walking through the marketplace. You know, he kind of bumps into a woman there and she's checking the fruit. She's got to find just the right cantaloupe to take home. And she goes, "Hey, watch it, Rabbi. Son of God." Just imagine this, shoulder to shoulder with him. "Hey, watch where you're going." Or the guy who's like, "Can you get your guy, I got this stand, I'm trying to sell fish, and you're blocking my, can you scooch out of the way?" I mean, this is so important. Jesus encounters people his whole life who never had a clue, who never saw what was happening. This means, think about this. If you had shown up in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and stood 100 yards away from Jesus, the Savior of the world, and asked anyone around you, hey, what's going on with the kingdom? Guess what they would have said? Nothing. We don't see any evidence that anything significant is going on. And yet 100 yards away is, again, the Savior of the world. It's why Jesus, as he nears the end of his life, he looks out over Jerusalem and he burst into tears, all because he said, "You missed God's appearing when he came." Jesus' closest followers missed it largely at the time. They're going, "I don't see it. I don't get it. I mean, maybe it's just me, but like also maybe the joke's on us. And maybe we're the fools in all of this." At one point, Jesus tells them that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. And they're going, "Huh? Did you misspeak? Did you mean to say the kingdom of Rome has been advancing? Because yeah, that makes sense because we see that all around us." And Jesus goes, "No, the kingdom of God, the plan and the purpose of God has been moving forward. I just want you to play a part of it." And they're going, "Are you kidding me? I'm not sure I see it." Again, that's just like where you live. It's exactly like where you work. God is up to something, and that's the truth. And in those places where it seems like he's not doing anything, you've actually been invited to play a part in this multi-generational plan and purpose of God. And here's the thing, if we actually pay a little closer attention, we do see glimpses. We actually, if we're really watching closely, we do see the ways the kingdom of God is actually slowly expanding. And it comes in the form sometimes of a glimmer or a conversation or someone kind of asks a question you can't believe they asked or showed openness or you found a way to invite someone to find hope in Jesus, which is what we're about, and to connect them to a group of other Jesus followers. And over time, not overnight, but over time, their life begins to change. Or you find ways to use your gifts to bless others and to be a light. Or God puts some injustice on your heart and you speak up and you act because you know that that has no place in the kingdom of God that Jesus embodies and invites us into. Or you start praying for the people that you work with instead of complaining and, "Oh, my job," and like daydreaming about what you'd rather be doing. You start asking the question, "What if God actually wants me here for a purpose and not just a paycheck? Like, God, I don't really see much of the kingdom here, but I'm assuming that you are at work," and he is. "So, Lord, what might you have for me to do? What part am I to play?" The good news is the kingdom of God cannot and will not be stopped by anybody. The challenge or the problem is you could spend your whole life and miss it. You could be just like the person who walked by Jesus. You're in his presence and yet you go on. You're just busy doing your thing. "I don't see the kingdom of God. I see the kingdom of power. I see the kingdom of Rome. I see the kingdom of a family thing that's so messed up and dysfunctional. I see all these kingdoms around me, but I don't see the kingdom of God." And God's saying, "Can't you see? I'm up to something. All I want you to do," he's saying, "all I want you to do is every once in a while stop and say, 'Hey, I'd like to be a part of that. I'd like to be invited in to be a part of your greater plan and purpose. I mean, the implications of this are huge. This means that every day of your life matters, that every person matters. And so what I want us to do as we leave, every once in a while, this question of purpose hits us. And we go, and? Like, is that all? Why? What are we doing? And look, I just want you to know, I'm just like you. I like getting new stuff. I like traveling. I like new experiences. I like watching HGTV and seeing amazing, incredible home makeovers and daydreaming about what we could do with our space and all these. And that's great. And I love it. And absolutely no judgment. I'm just saying that that is actually not where fulfillment is found. I love the smell of a new car. You get in there, smells like leather. Don't you love that? No one's eaten, no one's dropped fries in like the cracks of the seats, and there's been no suckers, no Cheerios. No child has ever sat in this car, and I'm not even sure they're gonna get to. That's exciting. I'm just saying, that doesn't generate lasting fulfillment. None of that satisfies my longing for a purpose. But in those times when we have crossed paths with people in whom God is working, and we just happen to be the person who said the thing, who piqued their interest and kind of helped them with their next step, or we encouraged them to keep going, and we helped them have more hope, or we brought light because of something God put on our heart, we brought light to a dark place. Those stories, I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, the outcome of participating with God is joy. That goes way beyond happiness, by the way. That goes way beyond, woohoo, I got the newest thing. I mean, something about knowing that you have participated in what God is doing, there's nothing like it. And so every once in a while, we stop and we remember who it is we're dealing with. And we pray, God, I don't know when the last time you prayed this, show me your will for my life. I want to participate. I don't just want to graduate or get a job or save up for retirement, all fine things. I certainly do not want to be just another bored consumer. I want to participate in what you are up to in the world. If you're here and you're in your late teens, or if you're in college, or if you're in your 20s, you got to pray this. You don't want to spend this next season of your life chasing after something, a series of relationships or excitement or money or whatever it is, only to catch it and realize it wasn't worth catching. And you find yourself going, and? Look at this verse, Acts 13. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. Isn't that a great line? It's a euphemism, right, for death. None of you were afraid when you put your heads on your pillow last night. And you awoke, and here you are. And yet, he's saying there will be a day for all of us. One day we will put our heads down for the last time. And we will awake with our Lord. And I just want you and me and all of us to pause between now and then, to stop every once in a while and think about what we're doing in the meantime. And I realize that this does not answer your question about which major should I choose, or do I take the job or not, or is it, you know, Houston or Cleveland, right? It doesn't like get into specifics about what to do with your money or my time or whatever. I'm simply trying to get you to see that God has a big plan, capital P, and that you're a part of that. And I'm convinced that if we start with what we know for sure, that God wants to redeem and reconcile all people to himself, and he wants to see his kingdom, as modeled by Jesus, come and grow on this earth as it is in heaven, if we will start there, and then if we'll submit all of our plans and our decisions and our future to him. Listen, he will make clear what he wants to make clear. I really believe that God is capable and willing to make perfectly clear to us what he wants to make clear. And I think in those things that we've prayed about and that we've submitted to him that still are not clear, we probably have more freedom to choose than many times we allow ourselves. There are times when God's going, hey, does it fit in my big purpose, multi-generational plan? And if we would begin just to see that, our relationships, our home, our neighborhood, our work, our money, our opportunities, if we see it through the lens of, is this the kingdom? Is this the way of Jesus and a light for him? And if so, go for it. Go for it. All of us who know Jesus, we share a primary call. And here's what the primary call is. To know him, to be like him, to live the way of Jesus, right? And then to invite others to know him the way that we know him. To know him, to embody his way, and to invite others to know him the way that we know him. That applies to all of us. That is our primary calling. And then we have individual callings. We have unique gifts. We're good at some things and other things not great at. We have unique set of resources and connections and all these things which contribute to our individual calling. But from the depth of my heart, my prayer for Commonway, for all of us, is that individually and together, that God would help you to serve his great purpose in this time, in this generation, in this place. And then, that you would not just fall asleep, but you would hear him when you see him. And you would hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Would you stand? We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we are just amazed that not only do you have a plan, not only are you at work, you actually, you've invited us to join you. Lord, we're humbled and we're grateful. Father, I pray that today, that this week, that sometime in the near future, you would just give us some glimpses that you are at work around us. That you have called us to something way, way bigger than ourselves. Lord, help us to participate. Help us to say yes. Help us to see our lives in light of that great truth. May we have courage. May we have grace to move forward depending on you. And Lord, if it be your will, we'd love to see you move in great power in our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you leave this morning knowing that you are part of his plan. You are part of his purpose. May you see all of your relationships, all of your opportunities as part of that big story, and may you say yes to him. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.